Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit." It was a miraculous thing that God did. Jesus was born to a virgin. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. You know, I think it would have been, I don't want to say a difficult task because it's the Lord who we're talking about, but to choose the man who would be the father, the earthly father of Jesus Christ. You know, what kind of man must this have been? A guy who, you know, loved the Lord, I'm sure. He loved the Word of God. He was a man who could raise up that child to love the Lord. I don't know, there was the human element we don't often think about, but just for that reason alone, I often think of Joseph as a very special person in the eyes of the Lord. There's not a whole lot in the Bible about him, but what is revealed shows you that he was a man of great humility and obedience to the Lord. And if that was two qualities of life that every one of us could walk in, if every one of us could grow in humility and obedience, we'd be great people. So I hope you'll learn at least that from Joseph this morning. But I want to focus on, my message today is called Reaction, Response, or Revelation. Reaction, when I think about reaction, and when I'm talking about reaction today, I'm talking about kind of the knee-jerk reaction that we have when something happens or we hear some news. And every one of us has a knee-jerk reaction about different things. I mean, as an example, maybe if someone cuts you off in the traffic, you have a knee-jerk reaction. Or maybe your wife says something to you that offends you, like, "Hey, it looks like your hair's falling out." And you have a knee-jerk reaction about how you come back at that. And the knee-jerk reaction I'm speaking about is typically one that's self-centered. I think most of the time when we react towards something, the reaction is usually self-centered. It's something that affects me. I was offended. I became angry. I was hurt. I was rejected by somebody, so I respond in this way. And so reaction has that kind of, that's kind of what I'm talking about reaction. And so when I read this story, it says the birth of Jesus took place this way when his mother Mary had been betrothed before they came together. So there was no physical union at this time. They were betrothed. They were kind of like engaged in a sense. It says she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Now, when I read that word found to be with child, that kind of gives me the thinking that maybe she didn't come out and talk about it with Joseph. She was found. I wonder how she was found. It's like maybe one day Joseph sees her, she's having a baby bump. She was found to be with child. What's his reaction? What is the knee-jerk reaction, men, if you find that your spouse or your betrothed person or your engaged person is all of a sudden pregnant and you have never had a relationship. Yeah, what's going on here? It's a knee-jerk reaction. And who can see from the scripture what his first reaction is? Divorce. I'm going to divorce this woman. You know, the reality is Mary was in a position where she could have been stoned. That was kind of an Old Testament way of dealing with unfaithfulness like this. She could have been stoned or at least forced to marry someone. I kind of wrote down some thoughts. And again, the Bible doesn't say these things, so I'm kind of reading between the lines of how a typical man might respond, you know, like shock or anger, disbelief. How could you do this to me? You know, just the natural self-centered thinking about, you know, why did this take place? You know, at minimum, he had a legitimate reason for divorce. Now, think about this. In those days, when someone was betrothed, it was almost like being married. I mean, it's stronger than our engagement that we have today. So if a person was betrothed, they had to be divorced to get out of that relationship. It wasn't like we're just going to call off the wedding. But I really like the next few verses. In verse 19, it says, her husband Joseph being a just man. So that gives you a little bit of an insight into his character. He was a man who was just. He did the things that were right, but he was also merciful. Just has that connotation to it. He was just, looking to do what's right, but there was this element of mercy that was there. And it says he was unwilling to put her to shame. So I want to talk about moving beyond reaction to responding. And I call it reasoned response. Giving a little bit more thought to what's going on here. And when I'm giving my definition of reasoned response, whereas reaction is self-centered, I'm saying that this idea of a reasoned response is more other-centered. I want to consider how what I'm going to do is going to affect other people, not just me. I might be angry and shocked and upset and disbelieving about what happened here, and my first reaction is, I'm going to divorce you. But as he sat and thought about it and gave more thought to it instead of the reaction, he says, you know what, I'm going to do it privately. I don't want to shame this woman. And so now he's taken this, you know, Mary into consideration, her heart, how she would feel about it. And that's responding. He's still moving forward with a divorce. But it's not like this reaction. It's like, let me take into consideration this other woman. And I'm telling you something. Those of us who tend to be reactionary to things that happen in our lives, stop and think about it. And you'll find that most often it is very self-centered. It's about me. It's about what's going on with me. And if we would take other people into consideration, I think we would respond a lot differently in these types of situations. And now, when I read this scripture here, the word unwilling is a good word. He was unwilling to put her to shame. And the word resolved. And these are two words that give me the idea that he is spending some time thinking about it. It's not a knee-jerk reaction. And these two words actually in the Greek language are closely tied together with some similar root words that make them kind of the same idea. It's like he has decided in his heart, I'm going to divorce her, but I'm not going to make a public spectacle of her. I'm not going to shame her. I'm not going to go announce it down the street or put it in the newspaper. I can't have this relationship with her because she's been unfaithful, but I care about her, and I'm going to do it privately. He did not want to put her to shame. And then the other thing, the resolve, he was resolved to do it quietly. So this tells me he was giving some reasoned thought to this, not just a knee-jerk reaction. Now, how many of you know that deciding to divorce Mary was a legit response? He had every, I mean, he would be walking in biblical truth. Right. I'm going to divorce her. I would be right before God to do this. It's a right thing to do. He wouldn't be, you know, denying the word of God by divorcing her. But sometimes doing what we can do is not always what we should do. How many of you know what I mean? Like, you know, when you're 18, you can legally drink and get drunk. But should you do it? Oh, 21? Okay, sorry about that. But you get my point. There's things you can do legally, but should you? And so Joseph would have been right and just and right before the Lord, and in every other way, doing an okay thing by divorcing this woman. But then he went to bed. And I like what it says in verse 20. As he considered, that tells you he was even given more thought to it. Even though he was already unwilling to do a certain thing and he had resolved to put her away quietly, he was still thinking about it. Even then, he didn't make a quick, rash decision. He said, as he was considering these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. You know, some of us men, I speak to the men, some of us men are so hard-headed that God has to talk to us in dreams. He has to get us in bed, totally unconscious and not aware of anything else going on around us to get our attention. Joseph, you'll find if you read chapter 2 of Matthew, there were three times in his life that the Lord spoke to him in a dream. An angel appeared to him in a dream. So maybe he's like us in some sense, that God has to get us to be kind of unconscious to speak to us. And the third thing I'm talking to you about today is revelation. So there's reaction. Are you a reactive type person? Or are you more one who is responsive? You know, I'm responding. I'm reasoning this thing out. I'm responding. I'm caring about others. The third thing is revelation. And while reaction is self-centered, his response was more other-centric. It's like, I really care about what's going on in Mary's life, but revelation is Christ-centric. It is, what does God want? And even though Joseph was perfectly right to divorce Mary, it was not the will of God. God didn't want it. God wanted this man, Joseph, to be the earthly father of Jesus. And so as Joseph is asleep and he's considering these things, it says an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take her as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. I'm thinking that somewhere along the line, you know, when Mary was found to be with child, that they had a conversation about it. And she said, Joseph, I'm telling you, an angel appeared to me. An angel appeared to me and said, you're going to have a child. And I said to him, how can this be? I'm a virgin. And he said to me, the Lord will overshadow you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And that which will be conceived in you will be from the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm telling you, brothers, that's a hard pill to swallow. I think most of us, knee-jerk reaction would be, no way. What kind of a story is that? It sounds like a fairy tale. But now the Lord is reinforcing in his dream, Joseph, what she told you is right. This child is from the Holy Spirit. Do not be afraid to take her. And I'll tell you what, the most telling thing about Joseph is the next morning when he woke up, he did exactly what the Lord told him. Look what it says in verse 21. It says, she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. You know, back then they said that, at least some things I had read that said that the fathers always had the privilege of naming their sons. Just like Zechariah was said, call him John. And Jesus was named by Joseph. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You know, Joseph didn't have, he did not have a clue who this baby was. You know, his first reaction was, my wife's been unfaithful. But I care about her, so I'm going to put her away, but privately. I don't want to put her to shame. Not realizing that that baby inside of her womb was going to save Joseph from his sins. What he first saw as an illegitimate child that he really didn't want and didn't want to take responsibility for was the very one who came to save him. But he only was able to embrace that when he stepped away from the reaction mode and stepped away from even just the reasoning. Let me reason this thing out. What's the best thing for Mary? And he said, what is it that God wants? What's God's plan here? And so Joseph, by seeing this revelation from God, was able to embrace his role as the earthly father of Jesus. But it wouldn't have been that way if he had either stayed in reactive mode or just kind of like the natural response mode. He wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. What did God have to say about it? He says, he will save his people from their sins, and all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken through the prophet. And so he's showing that even this birth was prophesied 700 years prior to this, Joseph. What you're seeing here in Mary is a prophecy that God spoke 700 years earlier, and now it's coming to pass in this woman who's betrothed to you. What a special thing that is. You know, what's happening is God is changing Joseph's perspective from this woman has been unfaithful to me to God is using her as a fulfillment of prophecy. This is not an illegitimate child. This is the Savior of the world. He came to save me from my sins. And not only that, it says, you're going to call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. This baby that Mary is carrying in her womb is God with us. God came to be with us. So what happened when Joseph moved away from the reaction mode and just the natural response mode was he received a revelation from God. It changed his entire perspective. He looked at Mary differently. He looked at this baby differently. And when he woke up the next morning, it says when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. I love that. You know, he spent some time considering his decision, and he mulled it over in his mind about, you know, how is all this going to affect Mary? But when it came down to obedience, there was like this immediate, yes, Lord. And that's what happens with revelation. It says, yes, Lord. I want to pray for all of us. I don't know what you're like. Are you the reactive type? I think probably a lot of us are. We react so quickly when there's conflict or, you know, who knows what. Lots of things cause us to react in different ways. And so often it is self-centered. It's about what just happened to me. If you can take a step back away from that and maybe step into being a person who responds with others in mind and respond in ways that are biblical. But I'm telling you, even take a step back further from that and say, Lord, will you show me what your will is in this thing? I mean, when you read this story, you know that Joseph did the right thing by receiving this revelation from God and then walking in obedience to. I love in Matthew 2, I won't read this, in Matthew 2, verse 13 through 15, and also 19 through 23, you see Joseph two other times in the middle of the night. He has an angel appear to him and says, Joseph, get up, take your child and his mother out into Egypt because someone's trying to kill him. And he wakes up in the middle of the night and he goes. And another time, the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, it's time to bring him back because those who try to kill him are now dead. And he got up and immediately began to do what the Lord had said to him. So Joseph had this, when he has this revelation, when God speaks to him, when God shows him something, he acts upon it. And that's really what the Lord is calling all of us to. You know, the Great Commission tells us to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptize them, and teach them to obey everything that I command you. I talked to you here a while ago about how many pastors in the world do not have a biblical worldview. I forget the number. It was a horrendous number. But even us in the pew can also live life without a biblical worldview. What do I mean by that? It means that we take the revelation that comes to us from God's word and we say, yes, Lord, this is what I want to do. Sometimes if we're the reactionary type person and we see something in the scripture, we'll just brush it aside and still stay in reactive mode. Like an example, the Lord says, love your enemy. And you say, I see that in the word of God, but hey, you don't know my enemy. And so you remain in this reactive mode. And then on the other hand, a lot of us can make biblical decisions, things that we can do because they're kind of like within the parameters of God's word. But is it what God wants us to do? And I'm praying that we would take a step toward this idea of, Lord, reveal your will to me. I don't want to live my life just within the parameters of what I know I can do. I want to say, Lord, what is it you want me to do? Because Joseph's life changed when he had the revelation of who Jesus really is. When that angel came to him and said, this is Emmanuel, God with us. And this child is conceived by the Holy Spirit. Everything changed for him, and he became this man of obedience. And so I would like to turn to one final scripture in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Your heart is kind of the center of you. It's like the kind of like the driving force of your life. The Bible says, out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. It's like what's in our heart. Jesus said, every sin that a man commits is from his heart, begins in his heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. It's just the center of who we are. And so it says here, trust in the Lord with that core central part of who you are. Trust him. And then he says, do not lean on your own understanding. So we have a choice as people to trust in my own understanding, figure it out myself, my way, my understanding of God's word. Or I can say, Lord, I want to lean upon you. I want to trust in you with the core of my being, with everything that is in me. And then it says, in all of your ways, acknowledge him. I looked that word up, and I should have wrote it down. I didn't write it down. But it has the idea of consider or discern or understand. It's a very broad word to acknowledge God. And it's kind of like what Joseph did here. He acknowledged God in this scenario. It was no longer reacting because she offended me, she'd been unfaithful. And it was no longer, well, I'll just divorce her quietly. It was the revelation from God. What do you want? And he acknowledged God in this thing. And the Bible says, if we acknowledge God, look for his discernment, look for his understanding, look for acknowledging him in our life. He says he will make your path straight. Other versions say he will direct your path. That's really a key to having a life of obedience based in revelation. It is trusting the Lord, not leaning upon my own understanding, but acknowledging him in everything, and he will guide us. So I'd like you to stand with me, and as we pray,